Kutcher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Joe's Barbecue Foot Massage. Joe's Barbecue Foot Massage. Better come down here, get some of this shit. You like to eat? America loves to eat. So why not open up somewhere America can sit down, enjoy a meal, and get their feet rubbed? We'll fry anything you want for $5.99. As long as it's friable or edible, we're going to make it deliciousable. We will fry parts of the chicken you didn't even know was friable. The beak, the feathers, we'll fry candy bars. All that European stuff that you don't really normally eat, we'll bring it down here and fry it for you. Ask McDonald's to fry something other than what they normally fry. Guess what you're going to get? Nothing. If it fit through the dough, I'll put it in the fryer. Hell, this is a dinosaur. So, friends, let's just decide you don't want no barbecue. Well, that's fine, too. Why not let one of my foot specialists or myself perform our magic? Look at that. Don't that look wonderful? If you really pay me enough, we'll massage your feet in any of these sauces also. Success is the rule down here. Jones, good-ass barbecue and foot massage. So go ahead and give me a call or find us on them worldwide internets at the new website. That's J-O-N-E-S, big-ass truck rental and storage.com /Jones. Good-ass barbecue and foot massage .html.
Excuse me, did you call number 52?
Did you hear me call number 52?
Never argue with a crazy mama. Is that all you get for your money?
You should never argue with a
chasing venture paper, like with Twitter again. Sick of arguing with white dudes on the internet. When I'm gassing my own black past, like how a wig could get, I like to slow it down with a marijuana cigarette, occasionally with powders in it. Yes, talking fresh, yeah, good hair.
And this might be the last day I can play my music.
Like the dress is
flowing. Well, I mean, you can always give the CD to somebody to load into the system. Yeah. And I can't find them. 98.5, The Sports Hub. We are Kutcher and Rich. I informed you all, Gilbert Arenas has told Complex Magazine that he doesn't believe the NBA is going to do everything in their power to not let LeBron James leave the East. And it's a conspiracy theory, and he gives examples of that happening before.
He doesn't give an example. He says it's happened before, but he doesn't give an example.
Why? Have you read it?
No. You said that in the article.
I don't know. I didn't get all the way through it.
Oh, okay.
I read it here.
Okay.
I can try to find it.
But as far as, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that came out yesterday. NBA offseason is truly the best. Because one second somebody's going one place, one second somebody's going the other place. All I know is that out of all the things that happened yesterday that involved the Celtics and LeBron, this might have been my favorite. Take it away, Stephen A. Smith.
I got two phone calls last night after hours with folks telling me that LeBron James reached out to Kevin Durant. Actually, Kevin Durant, you know that dude for the reigning two-time NBA Finals, MVP Max? You know that guy, one of the top three players in the world? That guy who just spent the last 2 years beating LeBron James in the NBA Finals? Well, LeBron James reached out to Kevin Durant via text, from what I'm told, about coming to Los Angeles. I don't know what Kevin Durant's response to him was. That is not the information that I got, but I will tell you what I did hear is that behind the scenes, Kevin Durant was like, why would I do that? You know what? As far as I'm concerned, LeBron James is a big-time player, what have you. But the way I look at it, I should be perceived as the best in the world.
Okay, if that happened, that's awesome. Like, first of all, I don't know if that happened or not. Stephen A. like throws this stuff out there. But if LeBron James truly texted Kevin Durant saying, let's go to L.A., what do you think that Kevin Durant's immediate reaction was? It was to take that and show everyone in the locker room, look at how lame this is. Why would he ever in a million years leave the Golden State Warriors to go and play with LeBron James? You're already on the greatest team in the NBA right now. You're on arguably what could end up being the greatest team in NBA history, the way that things are going. I mean, you look at their stats and you look at their run. This is a dynasty, and it doesn't look like it's going to stop anytime soon. Apparently, everyone's, well, Draymond Green, however, next year might end up going somewhere else, which, honestly, not being sarcastic, could change the entire chemistry of that team, but you still have some of the greatest players.
They'd probably lose Durant and him. By the way,
no, they're about to sign Durant, aren't they? To like a ton of money. Yeah, I mean, they're going to give him.
Well, it depends on how long Durant wants in for. But
Once in for, and it depends how. Then that completely changes the dynamic of the team. They can't. They're going to lose Klay Thompson and Draymond Green in that situation.
Well, here's one thing I know.
I'll just give you two examples that Arenas gives you. It's the frozen envelope for Patrick Ewing and Michael Jordan being exiled from the league over his gambling predilections.
Neither one of those was a free agency situation. There's literally nothing the NBA can do outside of asking him nicely to please stay in the East. And if I'm LeBron James and I'm looking at Cleveland and I'm going, this is garbage, I'm not sticking around.
This is another juicy conspiracy theory involving LeBron for NBA fans to sink their teeth into from a league that arguably produces the best ones in all of sports. If you don't believe in NBA conspiracy theories or aren't at least mildly fascinated by them, are you really an NBA fan? And then if you think about the problems they've had with officiating and throwing games, yes, I truly believe that the league is going to do everything in their power for LeBron James to stay in the East.
And what are they going to do?
They're going to say, lay it down and tell them, you know, this is what's best for the game and this is what we want you to do. And, you know, hope that he listens to him. I mean, they got Michael Jordan to leave the league.
And so LeBron's going to go, oh, okay, so what's best for the league is to me not to win another championship.
Well, Michael Jordan said for what's best for the league is I'll go play baseball and look like an ass for a couple years. I mean, that happened.
But that's two completely different scenarios. I like this. Listen, I like this conspiracy theory.
And the league also said we're going to give the Knicks the number one pick and let them get the biggest star in college basketball.
But that's something that you could argue they had control of. You can manipulate that behind the scene. But telling LeBron James, a guy who's the most powerful person in the league,
Michael Jordan to leave the NBA, and he did.
So you think that Adam Silver could go to LeBron James and say, please, pretty please, stay in the East, and he would do that?
I think that he could push his hand enough that it would factor, yes, absolutely.
Okay, well, there's that.
Conspiracy theory would be what does LeBron get at the other end? Like, suppose LeBron stays, and we've already gone over the Cleveland roster, which is real tough to move around at this point.
Yeah, because the rumor is he won't go to Philadelphia or Boston.
But that's the thing. If he doesn't go to Philadelphia or Boston, he stays in Cleveland and somehow magically wins a championship in the next 2 years, then we'll know that your conspiracy theory is true.
Well, this is not mine. It's Gilbert Arenas.
The conspiracy theory is true. You just happen to read it. You don't own it, but you read it. That was my point.
Arenas just says this is what happens in the league.
Arenas was also dumb enough to bring a gun to work.
Okay.
Wasn't Gilbert Arenas part of that team?
Yes. He put out a couple of guns in front of a teammate in the locker room, but that's not this.
Gilbert Arenas says that the league does this all the time and
his two examples are dumb and have nothing to do with what's going on with that.
That's complex. Well, first of all, they're not dumb. They're true.
But it's apples to oranges.
It's complex who gives those. Arenas says that this has happened a bunch of times
before. It's plausible enough that you can debate it, but I think
you don't think leagues at all dictate where players go?
Oh, lesser players
do.
Sure, via trade, but not when you're a free agent and you're LeBron James.
What I'm saying is LeBron is the most powerful player on the planet at the moment.
Jordan.
What I think is that if you go to LeBron and you say, LeBron, we don't want you going west, but we'll give you this. We'll give you this in return. So I'm saying if he stays in the East,
you'll know he's got something.
The NBA probably is going to have to get him a championship one way or another.
But to do that, you would have to change rules. You have to do something as far as the salary cap is concerned.
Make a wild trade go through. I mean, Kevin Love magically gets traded for more than a dollar on the dollar. Something like that.
If he goes,
they better do that quick.
If he goes to LA and they get Kawhi and Paul George, the East is an absolute joke.
Well, yes, thank goodness. It's awesome.
And they give
68 wins. Here we come.
They give examples in this article about, and you talk about the ratings, but the ratings without LeBron James are awful.
Not when the Celtics play.
Well, not
great
locally, but not nationally.
Nationally,
all right. I'll read it to you again.
Celtics versus the Sixers had excellent ratings. excellent ratings.
Rich is right about that.
Well, he's
matter
right
of fact,
about
I
that.
I think they were like the highest in right how long that. Was it?
Not TNT. About not nearly what LeBron James's ratings are.
Okay, but you said that there's nobody in the East. The Celtics bring huge ratings. They sell jerseys, they have stars. They're the one team, and I don't care about the rest of the East because if LeBron leaves, yay for the Celtics.
Yeah, and I'll take the Celtics over whichever Western Conference team survives that bloodbath in the playoffs to get to the finals.
Sure, that's the thing is all those teams are going to be beating the living snot out of each other game after game after game. So, yeah, I mean, you're right, though. It's the Celtics, and then it's Joel Embiid, and then...
That's right. There's nothing else.
A desolate wasteland.
There's nothing else.
And that's the absolute truth. Now, one thing
the league won't allow him to leave the East. The villain or if the villain or the hero of the East joins the West, that destroys the NBA. There's no reason to watch the Eastern Conference at that point. The whole East Coast basketball vibe is done.
Yeah, because you have one great team, one okay team, and then nothing else. There's no mystique. You know who the best is.
No one's going to watch it because there's nothing. No one's going to watch the East. If you get rid of LeBron James, there's no reason to watch the East.
Well, there's only one other guy. Antetokounmpo is supposedly the next man up.
Okay, so. Well, he's going to really...
All that being said, I don't know if watching a Bucks game is must-see TV.
Like, it's not.
It's not.
Watching this guy, if he continues to progress as people think he will, and he's right on the edge now, if he continues to progress... Then people will start.
Your argument that up and coming teams in Boston and Philadelphia could carry the torch in LeBron's absence sounds cute and all, but they pale in comparison to the number of eyeballs LeBron brings, whether it's a regular season or more importantly, the postseason.
Yeah, are they saying that LeBron is the most watched player on the NBA? Yes, there's no question.
When the overall health of the league is dependent on TV ratings and attention, what would be the point of paying attention to an Eastern Conference void of any superstars casual fans give a S about? Maybe check back during the Eastern Conference Finals before either Philly or Boston gets washed in the finals by the Warriors, Rockets, or LeBron's Lakers. If you think Kyrie Irving and Jason Tatum are really moving the needle, or Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, that deserves a hand wave.
Well, he's also wrong on that, because there's evidence that says people do watch the Celtics. And also, that's a people guy who has a grudge. So, I mean, this is Gilbert Arenas saying this, where the ratings and everything else says otherwise.
So he's got a grudge against Kyrie Irving and Jason Tatum?
Against the Celtics.
Why?
Because he used to play against them. I mean, he could have he's a player.
Oh, Jesus, Rich. You are such a ball
Fred,
watcher of the Celtics.
Fred, I am giving you ratings and statistics, and he's just saying, well, no one's going to watch him.
No one's going to watch him.
And I'm saying that Kyrie Irving had the number three highest selling jersey last year. And,
so?
And Jason
it's
Tatum
new.
Had the number nine
so,
highest selling jersey last
so
year.
So if I'm, because Kyrie Irving was a Celtic.
Oh, yes.
And
the
he's
Celtics,
new.
And the Celtics, as a team, had the number three highest selling jerseys as far as teams are concerned last
now,
year.
Why could, what,
so don't
what,
tell
what,
me people aren't going to watch the Celtics.
What would be a reason for that?
That people are fans of the Celtics and the
or
ratings for the Celtics.
How about that Kyrie was new and Tatum was new?
What is
I'm
it?
Not going out and buying a LeBron Cleveland jersey.
Then debate the ratings with me then. Debate why they get the highest, some of the highest ratings all season long.
If they, what, in the playoffs?
Yes.
Against whom?
Against the Sixers.
The highest ratings in the playoffs.
They were way
higher
up
than
last
the West.
Year.
Up from last year, fine. Not in comparison to the Western Conference.
Oh, I think that that round with the Sixers was higher than the Warriors round. I'm not kidding you. Those ratings were crazy for the Sixers.
If you lose LeBron in the East, there's nothing compelling about the East.
Except, you're right.
And no one's going to watch
it. That's not your argument. You said people won't watch the Celtics.
People will not watch the Celtics.
That's crazy.
They're not.
They watch
in the playoffs, they're not going to watch. Because it was, well, the Sixers were the favorites in that series. And the Celtics didn't have their stars. If you
and they still have those ratings. So think of it. Now they're going to have their stars, so it's going to be even bigger.
No, it won't, because it's going to be considered a wash. And by the way, it's like a consolation prize, because no matter what these teams do, they're not going to be able to. There's three teams in the West they won't be able to beat.
The Celtics?
Yes.
Oh, that's not true.
They can't beat Houston. Teams? They can't beat Golden State.
They
won't be able
Houston.
To beat the
they
Lakers.
They beat Houston last year. They're not going to beat Houston. Okay, who's on Houston? They beat them last year.
In the regular season?
Yes.
Yeah, they beat Golden State in the regular season.
Okay, who's going to be on Houston this year? Who's
you're
on Houston?
You're going to have Kevin Harden. You're going to have Chris
James
Paul.
Harden. Chris Paul is not guaranteed.
Paul's a free agent.
He's a free agent.
So where's he going?
It could be anywhere. The Celtics can beat Houston.
No, they cannot. And Houston's not going to beat Golden State. There's three teams that they can't beat.
Fred, they beat Houston with Chris Paul.
In the regular season.
Okay, in the playoffs they could beat.
Jesus, in 82 games, they've lost to Golden State. They beat Golden State. I was at a game where they beat Golden State. You think they beat Golden State in the playoffs in a best of seven?
I think it's going to be close, but I think the Golden State's still the better team.
Yeah, it's going to be real close. Real close.
I'm looking at the Eastern and Western Conference Finals ratings. The Western Conference was about a point better. That would still delve. I haven't tracked down the Celtics-Philadelphia ratings yet, but the Cleveland Celtics on TNT was a 9, and the Western Conference Finals was a 10.5.
Yeah, and that's which is a lot, and that's also with LeBron James playing, who's the biggest star in sports.
Yeah, and the Sixers one was big, and he wasn't involved.
I don't know how big it is compared in terms of overall numbers. You can give
check
me
out
a percentage.
Game 7. Look at game
you
7.
You can give me a percentage. Give me a total audience.
Okay.
Give me a total audience of that series. I mean, and not local.
Yes, national.
Yeah, give me a national number for that series. Because I got news for you. If you have LeBron in L.A., you have Houston, and you have Golden State, everything's in the West. That's why they do the All-Star game the way they do it now, is because the East doesn't have the star power to compete against the West. I mean, no one cares. And don't give me jersey sales. Yeah, Tatum blew up this year, and Kyrie Irving's a star that came to the Celtics for the first time. All right, well, listen, the ratings were the ratings. John Wallach's hard at work.
I am. I'm trying to find an answer.
So if LeBron, by the way, if LeBron leaves the East, it's over for the East.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
If you're a Celtics fan, then it's great. But
correct.
But the East is a joke. Unless the 76ers go out and get a star, it's a joke.
If they don't get Kawhi Leonard, and apparently there's Dario Saric, Robert Covington, and at least one first-round draft pick, that's going to be part of the package they offer San Antonio for Kawhi Leonard.
Part of my package is pretty nice. Nick, go ahead.
Fred, I love you, man, but I have to agree with Rich on this one. I don't know how you can say that nobody will watch the Celtics or there's no interest in the Celtics, especially with Hayward coming back. A year of Tatum.
I'm not dismissing the Celtics. I'm dismissing the East. There is going to be no interest in the Eastern Conference playoffs because it will be so far and away the Celtics to win, and then they won't win the championship.
Okay. I see what you're saying. I'm just thinking that from the way that you were explaining it, that there's no interest in the Celtics. Nobody's going to watch the Celtics.
Sure, fine. People will watch the Celtics, but there's going to not like they would East the West. Admit, if LeBron James leaves the East, it's a joke. The East is a joke.
Yes, thank you.
Unlike, I understand, Rich, you like the Celtics, but it's a joke. And why would anyone care? Like, if I live in Milwaukee, why do I care at that point?
I think we have a disconnect here. Your point is on a national scale. Rich's point is on a local scale. The ratings are going to be tremendous.
The ratings here are going to be huge.
But
on a national scale, the Celtics are going to have huge ratings.
No, they're not.
The complex article does, or Gilbert Arenas' point.
And complex.
There is some merit to it, Rich. Honestly, if there's no competition in the East, and there's a lot of competition in the West, along with a lot of stars, obviously more people are going to watch Western Conference games than Eastern Conference games.
Every major star is in the West.
But, Rich, you see that point, right?
Oh, yeah. Are you saying that? Okay, so what
so
you're saying
you guys
saying
are arguing two different things,
what,
I think. That's what this is
going to get higher ratings, Celtics versus the Bulls? Or the Heat versus Phoenix.
Celtics versus
Heat,
the
sorry,
Bulls.
Or the
Lakers against
Phoenix.
Golden State.
Every major star is going to be in the West.
On any given night, and TNT's not stupid to schedule it this way,
right.
Having Anthony Davis against LeBron James. If Kawhi Leonard goes to the Lakers, having the Lakers play whoever, choose a team. Even Portland has good players. Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, there are great players in the West. Obviously, more eyeballs are going to head in that direction. If LeBron James goes there, advertisers will not necessarily want to advertise in Eastern Conference games.
Every major star is in the West.
That's the point on a national scale. Locally, the Celtics ratings are great now.
They're
going to
be huge.
Up because the Celtics are going to win 60 or 65
because there's no competition.
Games. But nationally, yes, the dollars won't go there. I think that, am I correct?
You're absolutely saying my point.
That's the whole point of it.
Is that the point is...
He's not debating you as to whether or not people watch it here. He's debating as to whether or not people in Iowa will watch games here.
And I say that if it's a Celtics game, it's going to get more... I bet that's going to be one of the top three nationally televised teams.
Not if they don't play anybody. If they play the Sixers, you'll get lots of eyeballs. But if they play Atlanta or Miami
or Milwaukee...
Milwaukee may not necessarily
fine.
Be,
are you okay?
That's the point.
Okay, Celtics versus the Chicago Bulls.
No,
does that get a higher rating than the Rockets versus Phoenix?
No.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
No, because the Rockets have superstars.
Has a superstar.
And Phoenix
has one star.
And Phoenix has the overall number one pick. Choose another team. But I understand your point. I understand your
point.
I
mean, if we're going to compare
every major star is
a really,
in the West.
By the way, this is a really dumb argument. I'm starting to... This is weird. This has gone on too long.
Yes.
I'm not even passionate about it.
Okay, then. Moving on.
I'm kind of just like...
And we blew through the stop sign for it, too.
I'm like, not even really... I don't really
care. If Dan O'Brien was in the other room, he'd be flipping the F out right now.
You ever
been
in the middle of like a conversation or something? I was like, I don't really even care where I'm going.
I think we're done with this.
All right. Okay. A gentleman by the name of Steve Kyler is going to join us. He apparently is a basketball guy. Here is Boomer Esiason brought to you by Lion Wall Auto Group. All right, there you go.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fact that they don't want to just take Kawhi Leonard as a rental. Boston doesn't have to take big risks. They don't have to take a great chance. They can just keep this group together, kick the can down the road for another year with these young players, and they'll always be in position when a big star becomes available to outbid everybody because of the assets they have. Oklahoma City last year, they had to take a chance.
Right.
They had lost Kevin Durant. They needed to surround Russell Westbrook. They had to take the risk for Paul George. It was different. Boston doesn't have to do that. Philly doesn't have to do that because they can just kind of keep growing organically and they'll be fine.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Hutcher and Rich. Steve Kyler covers the NBA for the Basketball Insiders. I'll get this out of the way. I was reading in Complex Magazine because I'm hip. Gilbert Arenas was on there talking to their basketball coverage, and he said that the NBA would do their best to try to get LeBron James to stay in the East. Because with the absence of LeBron James in the East, it becomes much less interesting. Have you heard of something like that, like the NBA kind of pushing someone to stay?
I find this ominous NBA funny. Who is Gilbert talking about? Is he talking about Adam Silver? So Adam Silver is going to get involved in a free agency decision. I think that, you know, globalizing, we do this with the NFL, I think we do this with all sports. It's easier to say the big ominous they is manipulating the process than really taking time to understand the process. And that's been Gilbert's problem most of his career. So I'm not buying the idea that the NBA cares. The end of the day, all of this attention is good for the NBA, and wherever LeBron James lands is going to be good. If it lands in the Lakers, now the Lakers are relevant again, and the biggest market in the NBA and the largest fan base has a legitimate star again. If he stays in Cleveland, well, then Cleveland's still relevant, and that franchise won't go in the toilet value-wise, and people will care about basketball in Central Ohio. So there's all kinds of both sides to this. I don't buy the idea that anyone at the NBA, that other than a fan interest, really cares, because LeBron is a cash machine wherever he gets.
Okay, so let's just kind of start breaking down some of the things that came out yesterday and how much you believe them and where these rumors go. So Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted that the Spurs right now are fully engaged in talks, they said, with several teams on Kawhi Leonard, including the Lakers and the Celtics. And they said that Boston has long had the assets that the Spurs most covet in a potential Leonard trade. Now, my original thought when I saw that was that the Celtics truly don't want to make a significant trade for Kawhi Leonard, but they are just trying to jack up the price for the Lakers to have to pay. Where do you see this going, and just how serious do you believe the Celtics are?
I think the Celtics are incredibly serious because, look, no matter what you do at the end of the day, who are you trying to beat? The Golden State Warriors, they have five all-star level players. and who knows what they're going to get in the offseason. Is this where Dwight Howard says, I'll take the minimum, and now you got a legit double-double big man playing, you know, almost uncontested under the rim? So there's all kinds of things that play into this that say, if you're the Celtics and you have the opportunity to get the player that will push you over the top, and Kawhi, absolutely, if healthy, is the best two-way player at his position, maybe since Jordan, you know, you go get that player, because as much as you may believe in the future of Jaylen Brown, as much as you may think the magic beans of draft picks matter, the end of the day, proven veteran guys, you know, Kawhi Leonard's a top five player in this league, and if you can go get a top five player, you have to look at that, especially if the cost is low. And Jaylen Brown isn't a huge price to pay, even for a one-year rental that almost guarantees you're a serious finals contender. Again, if everybody stays healthy, we saw how that worked out with Gordon Hayward.
Okay, there's another rumor that was out there yesterday. I don't believe this one at all, but they, I mean, maybe you know something. They said that, I think I saw this on, someone from Fox Sports had tweeted this out, that the Celtics would consider straight up trading Kawhi Leonard for Kyrie Irving. Have you heard anything about that rumor, and is that something you believe the Celtics would consider?
Well, that's the math of it, right? So in the NBA, you almost have to trade dollar for dollar, especially when you're over the cap. And Kawhi Leonard makes exactly the same money as Kyrie Irving. And if you say Kyrie won't extend, he's only said he's not going to do that. You look at Kyrie Irving's injury history. You look at the fact that you want to keep Marcus Smart, and Terry Rozier is really good. What's the easiest chip to move and not have long-term ramifications? It's, you know, it's Kyrie for Kawhi. That was just easy math. Now, is there a serious interest in that? No. But look, if the San Antonio Spurs said two number ones and Kyrie Irving, you have to look at that if you're the Boston Celtics, simply because Kyrie could walk away from you in July in much the same way Kyrie can. And does Kyrie or does Kawhi help you more than, say, Kyrie, because you've got Terry Rozier that you believe in, because you've got Jaylen Brown? Then you don't have to give up your youth. And by the way, you don't have to pay, you know, Kyrie $200 million. You could give, you know, $175 to Kawhi if he falls in love with being in the finals.
What's your gut tell you about where LeBron James winds up?
Yeah, that one's way up in the air. In previous years, there was always kind of scuttle. There was always kind of like one of his guys would say something. This year, the LeBron James camp is locked down. In fact, the only thing you're hearing out of them is kind of how the process is going to go. And then really over the last 36 hours, just massive denials about he has now texted with Kawhi Leonard. He did not text Kevin Durant. You know, his camp is going on the offensive to kind of shoot down some of this stuff. We'll see if it ends up being true. I always go, well, what else are they going to say? But the truth of it is, it doesn't seem like they're tipping their hands either way. We'll get the first real card tonight by way of his option. He's got until midnight tonight to pick up his player option. If he picks up his player option, that makes things interesting, because then the Houston Rockets are squarely in play there in a trade scenario. If he doesn't pick up his option, it becomes pretty hard for him to get to the Houston Rockets and then have any semblance of a roster that was competing for the Western Conference final.
All right. Well, all of us in Boston have been looking at Kawhi and even LeBron James. Yesterday, kind of under the radar, Paul George was doing an interview on ESPN. I think you sat down with Dwayne Wade, and he mentioned the Boston Celtics as one of the teams he would look at. Do you believe that there is any chance that he would come to the Boston Celtics and that the Celtics would make that move?
Well, one, the Celtics will not have salary cap space to make that happen. So the idea that he'll sit down and talk is always interesting, but the only way that happens is if there's a sign and trade, and that's going to get really complicated for the Boston Celtics in a way that doesn't make any sense at all. But look, I think it shows you how the league and other players view what's going on in Boston. I think it's a reason to believe that Kyrie will stay long-term. It's a reason for Danny Ainge to maybe hold the course that, hey, when Anthony Davis gets to this point or when Carl Anthony Towns gets to this point, they'd all look at the Celtics as maybe the next best destination. But the problem is the Celtics have spent so much money, they're not going to have anything close to cap space. So it's not practical to think that Paul George would be a Boston Celtic, but it wouldn't surprise me if he meets with him.
All right, a lot has been made of Jason Tatum, and there's no denying he had a fantastic rookie season. Just how indispensable is he, and what do you think the ceiling on him is?
Well, I think he's probably the lone untouchable guy on the roster. You know, he has, you know, not only shown everything you hope he'd be, but now you're starting to see, boy, there's another level to his game. You know, I thought he was maybe the most prepared guy coming in to be a great NBA player. If you go back and look at how I viewed him during the draft, I thought he was the number one prospect in almost every situation, and I think he's proven to be right. You know, the fact that he is an incredible worker, the fact that he gels right into the team dynamic, flourishes off of how Brad Stevens functions in terms of both offense and defense. You know, once this guy figures out what 82 games means, once he figures out how to train to the NBA and learn where his spots are in the NBA, you know, he's a guy that could legitimately be a 30-point-a-game scorer and be the best player on your team. And that's saying a lot when you've got Kyrie and Gordon Hayward and some of the other guys, because he looks like he could be that special. He looks like he could maybe be one of the best players in the draft.
Well, there you go. Things looking very good for the Boston Celtics. Steve Kuyler covers the NBA for the Basketball Insiders. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
Anytime, fellas. Be well.
All right, appreciate it. There you go. I was exactly right about Jason Tatum coming out of the draft. All right, here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich.
Last night, we told you the inspiring story of the woman who finished first at the Boston Marathon this year, the first American woman to win since 1985. Tonight, the person who finished last, her story might be even better. Mary Schertenlieb is a 42-year-old mother of two who has battled cancer three times. Doctors warn it would be tough to try the Boston Marathon, given her compromised immune system, especially in Monday's punishing rain and cold. But Schertenlieb was determined to run, to raise money for the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. At mile 15, her body began breaking down. She was told to stop, with concerns over hypothermia. She went to the medical tent, and after calling her husband, they decided she should go home. A few hours later, however, Mary went back on the course, this time with her husband by her side. And early this morning, shortly after midnight, Mary approached the finish line, crossing at 12:18 a.m., more than 15 hours after the first runners started the race.
She's been amazing, and I'm just, every day I'm inspired by her.
It wasn't the photo finish she expected, but it was about the best one we can imagine.
You could do anything. It may not be how you imagined it playing out, but you could still get it done.
Congrats, Mary. You inspire all of us.
That ain't five to sports up. All right, that was from the Boston Marathon. What gives?
I have a kind of a cool update regarding Mary. It's kind of funny. It's like ever since all that happened, it's weird. Like I'll go places and people now recognize Mary. They'll go up to Mary and they'll talk to her. And people who, you know, saw the stuff on the news and everything. But this is a cool thing that came out of all of this. And it finally got finalized. So after hearing Mary's story, the people at Michelob Ultra, they reached out to her. And not only did they say, listen, we want to give you a chance at a do-over, they gave her a bib to run in the New York City Marathon.
Oh, that's great.
Which, by the way, from what everything I read, is like almost impossible to get. And so, not only are they offering her a bib, but they're having her train with Shalene Flanagan, who is the woman who's the first American woman to win the New York City Marathon. I think she did last year or the year before. But she won it. On top of that, she's, you know, also on Michelob Team Ultra, so she's running with them too. And then they said, in honor of the 10.7 miles that she went back and finished, they donated $10,700 in her honor to Dana-Farber because of that. So because of that story, they called her and said, we want you to do it the right way this time, have a do-over, and now she's going to be training with one of the head people in the matter. This is insane what's been going on since then. So thank you to the people from Michelob Ultra for donating over $10,000 in her name to help out. And so this November, I was like, Mary, you sure you want to do
this? I'm just going to go back into training.
I was like, are you sure you want to do this? Like,
after the whole problem training for Boston.
Like after it was all, I'd be done and over. Like my first, I'd be like, all right, well, never again. I kind of tried that. It was done and over with. And she actually kind of started, I don't mean to call her out, but you know, when they called her and told her that, she actually started crying. Like she, you know, she couldn't believe it because she obviously knows what the marathon is, and it was almost like she's getting a second chance to go do it again. So Just a cool update. We found out yesterday it all got finalized. So she is going to be, this November, doing it all over again. Hopefully the rain will be a little bit better and will not be nearly as nasty as it was here, which is still kind of
possible.
Insane.
I don't think it's possible to be as bad as
which
it was
still
here.
Nuts. So that is a quick update on Mary.
Congratulations. Cool.
Thank you. Well, I mean, those congratulations to me. I mean, we've got to, she's got to do all this training all over again, which is strange. But she will be doing that stuff with Shalene Flanagan, which I guess that she tweeted after that race saying it's the Boston Marathon, that it's the worst conditions that she's ever run in. And she's running a million of these. She's one of those people like runs in like the thin air, like the really thin air, like at super high altitudes for most of the year. So she can come down and do it at a, you know, it's almost like a, makes it easier. It's like walking around with weights on your ankles in order to get yourself stronger for when you're trying to run or whatever. I guess that's what she does. So there you go. There you go. Congratulations to Mary. I thought that was a cool story, and I'm glad that they're doing that.
All right. So there you go in November.
Yep. I think it's the second or first weekend
Sunday
in November. Is
first,
that what it is?
I believe it's first Sunday in November.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are running out of certain shirts that I've been told to talk about. The Hey Guys Hey shirts are available at 985thesportshub.com, and they made a lot of them, but they haven't sold all of them.
I've been told we have 30 left. Actually, it might be a little less than 30. It was 30 as of last night. So 30 left.
So go get your Hey Guys Hey shirts.
It's shop.985thesportshub.com, I believe, is the address. And if not, you can just go to 985thesportshub and be able to find it right there.
So get them while they're hot. Get them while they are hot. All right. There was a spectacle that went on. There was two great minds talking together. There was Jim Rome, and there was a man by the name of David Price. And they talked, and we will review that interview for all of you coming up. But first, Rob, go ahead.
Fred, buddy, you got caught up, huh? Gilbert Arenas? He's going to start sending you bulletin boards, and you're going to end up eating a caca sandwich, I bet.
Well said.
Touch of the sucker.
Save that.
So he's going to send me a board, and I'm going to be part of a caca sandwich?
No, he's going to send you bulletin boards, and you're going to start believing. He's going to start a cult, and you're going to start listening to him.
He's going to sack a boach?
Start a cult.
And send me whiteboards?
Bulletin boards telling you what to do.
So he's going to send me like corked boards to hang things up on.
No, he's just going to send you bulletin boards telling you what to do, like the Always Sunny episode.
Which episode?
Where they start trying to get the cult.
Oh, the power thing?
Yeah.
There's a girl in that episode that is so insanely hot, it's hard to, it's like, it pisses me off. The girl that's like where Frank's trying to throw her back out so he can get with her. Do you know the one that I'm talking about?
Yeah, I watched it last night.
All right. Well,
but touch of the sucker is going to start eating caca sandwiches because Gilbert Arenas told him.
All right. Thank you.
That's our next shirt.
Yeah. Sell like hotcakes. Fred eats caca sandwiches. Well, Jim Rome did have David Price on his program, and we will visit that. It's two great minds.